Genesis chapter 3 and then Job chapter 42. If you want to hold your place, I'm going to be going to Job 42 at the end of the message today. I really kind of thought this was the final message in our series, The Beast and Me, but I may have one more next week. And so that's a bonus. But I've been talking about parts of your life that, if unchecked, can allow the enemy to come in and have place, take up a stronghold in your life. The things that I've been talking about are your flesh. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. Your flesh is one of those areas that will always be with you. It's your default setting. You wake up in the flesh. You wake up that the flesh is that part of us that rejects God, doesn't want to really have anything to do with God. And that is our default setting. And so we combat that. We overcome that beast in us by letting the Holy Spirit fill our life, walking in the Spirit, setting our mind on God. I also talked about two weeks ago, the beast of our emotions. Like our flesh, you're always going to have feelings. You're born with, created with emotions. And toxic emotions, negative feelings, often are ways that the enemy comes into our life. The enemy can come into our life through our flesh, or the enemy can come in and set up a stronghold and have access to our life through our toxic emotions, especially our negative feelings. We need to not let those emotions be an excuse to sin. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath and give place to the enemy. And so the way we combat that is we don't use it as an excuse to sin. We don't let it linger, but we walk in an attitude of forgiveness. I'll be talking more and more about that throughout this week and probably next month some. Another beast is our will. Our will needs to actually not be weak inside of us. It does not need to rage against God. Our will is our ability to choose and to act. And our will actually needs to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And our will needs to be strengthened to take control of those negative emotions in our life. We're to love God with all of our soul, and our soul is our emotions and our will, and the will needs to be strong in us to resist our flesh and to resist those emotions. Next month, I'm probably going to revisit some of these topics just a little bit, but today I want to talk about the beast of your pain, the beast of your pain. When you think about pain, a lot of times we think about physical pain, When I was writing this down this week, I thought about how many of you remember watching David Letterman? I know he's been gone for now for a little while, but how many of you, did you ever watch David Letterman back in the, okay. I remember an old episode, and I don't know how many years back this was, but he had injured himself. I think he had cut his thumb or something. I don't remember. And he was talking, interviewing somebody, and he said, there's really three kinds of pain. I thought this was funny considering the source was David Letterman, okay? He said, there's three kinds of pain. There's a kind of pain that you just kind of go, ouch. He said, then there's a kind of pain, he called it cussing pain, where you dance around and you yell expletives. He says, but then there's the kind of pain where you just have to turn it over to Jesus. because you just got to go to the hospital and pray. And he said that's the kind of pain that he experienced when he injured himself. Just turn it over to Jesus. I thought that was funny considering the source. Not very many of you thought that was funny. But anyway, like our flesh and our emotions, I'm not talking about physical pain, though, although it could be physical pain. I'm talking about the pains that we suffer in life emotionally. Heartache and seasons of grief and disappointment in our life. Like our flesh and our emotions and our will, pain is going to come into our life. We're going to experience heartache from time to time. We're going to experience grief. There's going to be pain. There's going to be seasons where we are disappointed. There's going to be seasons when we've been let down or been hurt or wounded by someone. And often, I've said this in a series last month, but a lot of times the pain that we experience comes from people who say that they love us. And so how we deal with this, sometimes, if we're not careful, can be an open door for the enemy to come in and take up real estate in our life. I want to deal specifically with how the enemy uses pain to gain access into our life. We've been talking about how the devil comes into our life through negative feelings, through toxic emotions. The enemy can come into our life. He can come into our life. We've been talking about how our will needs to be over those emotions, and he can come in, into our life and govern us, or we can govern those emotions through our will. Satan also enters our life through pain that we experience. And it can be pain from a person who has hurt us or let us down. It could be sin and failures in our own life. How many of you have done something that you know was not the will of God and felt remorse, felt pain over that? Come on, just be honest. I'm going to go ahead and raise both hands. All right. How many of you have done something to somebody else that you regret, and now you experience, even though you injured them, you feel bad about it too. It hurts you now. You know, there's a whole thing, a whole lot of things that we could talk about that cause us pain on the inside. How does the enemy come in and gain access to our life through this pain? The devil shows up in that pain. Again, the danger with him is he is stealthy. And I don't, a lot of times people say, I don't want to talk about the devil. I don't want to talk about him. I don't want to give him more credit. But he is stealthy, and often he will come into your life and you not know that it's the devil. You think it's you. He convinces you that it's you. This is in your own head, or this is something that's your fault. He enters our life in a very stealthy way, and that's how he becomes dangerous. It would be so much easier if he would just materialize and be wearing, you know, a red unitard and horns and a pitchfork and say, I'm the devil, come to destroy you. Then you'd know it was him, and then you'd take action against him. That's why he's stealthy. He comes into our lives and he takes a place in our life, gains a stronghold in our life through our emotions, negative emotions, through our will, our weak will, through our flesh, and through our pain. Let me tell you how he comes in. This is just some thoughts today before I get to my main points. The devil speaks messages to us in our pain. That's how he comes in, through our pain. He comes in different ways, and one of the ways he gains access to our life, the one of the ways the enemy can influence your life is he speaks messages to you in the pain. There is demonic messages in our misery. Satan, he'll whisper in those times where we've been hurt, where we've been wounded. You go back to the garden. I had you hold your place in Genesis chapter 3. If you go back to the garden, the devil tempted Adam and Eve to sin, and then they fell, and then God began to speak to Adam. And at this point, they were hurting. They had fallen. They had sinned, and they had remorse. They had regret. They were hurting at this point. There was pain. But the Bible doesn't say where the enemy spoke to them. God actually says it. I'm going to read this, and I want you to see if you can tell what the message was that the enemy spoke to them after they sinned. This is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he, this is God, said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? God doesn't ask questions, first of all, because he doesn't know the answer. Okay? God knew very well who had spoken a message to Adam and Eve. But he asked them because he wants them to be aware that in their pain now, the enemy had placed a message in their heart. This message did not come from God. In fact, it did not even come from Adam and Eve because they had been naked all along. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says God created them and they were naked and unashamed. Now all of a sudden, they are aware of their nakedness and they are ashamed and they hide from God. Who told them? God says, who told you? Did you see the message that Satan somehow implanted into their hearts through their pain? They had fallen. They had failed. There was remorse. There was regret. There was shame. But who told them they were naked? God says, who told you? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were shameful? God didn't say that. They hadn't thought it up in their own heads because they had been naked all along. So who's the only other person in this story? Satan, the devil. The devil was the one who brought a message through their pain. Satan comes in through our pain, and what hurts in our life, often it's not the initial pain, it's the message that is spoken through that pain to us, that we then begin to see the enemy come in and gain access to our life. Before sin, there was no shame. After sin, they were ashamed, and they were hiding from God because they were naked. Then God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Who told him? It was the devil. Satan comes in and he implants these messages. And as soon as Adam and Eve fell and the pain of that failure hit them, the devil whispered into their soul, you're defective. There's something wrong with you. There's something messed up about you. You're naked and you should be ashamed and you should hide from God. Has the enemy ever whispered something like that into your ear? There's something wrong with you. You're defective. Shame on you. Through their pain, they have a message from Satan that is implanted, and they hide from God. I remember some of the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. I picked kind of a trivial thing now looking back on it, but at the time it was my world. But one of the worst pains I ever experienced was the pain of heartache from a breakup. Can anybody relate? I was in college. I was dating a girl. I thought she was the one. I thought I was in love, and I thought I was going to marry her. And then she breaks up with me, and she leaves me for another guy. It wasn't like she broke up and then was single for a little while. She went right from me. The reason she broke up with me because she wanted to date someone else, and that it devastated me. But I really did. I thought, this is the girl I'm going to spend the rest of my life. Thank God I didn't, by the way. but at the time, it was devastating. It was a painful experience in my life. But it wasn't just the pain of the broken relationship. It was the messages that came to me then in that pain. The message that said, you're not good enough. You're too ugly. You're not smart enough. You're not successful enough. You're not worthy. You'll never find love again. Or if you do, you'll lose that too. These messages that came, messages of rejection, messages of that spoke against me as a person and against my confidence or my security or my abilities. There's always a message from the devil in your pain. When you go back into your past, to those places, you've gotten stuck emotionally. And that's what a lot of what we've been talking about this year has been, to become more emotionally mature, to become more emotionally healthy. Why? Somebody did ask me, you think you're talking about this too much? And I think no, because from a spiritual standpoint, usually people cannot go any further spiritually than they're willing to mature emotionally. And so I think a lot of times that's why the enemy, again, comes in and attacks us and tries to keep us stuck in our past, things that we probably don't even know about, are not always aware of. He does not want us to know about these things. The reason he does these things is because he wants to keep us stuck. But if we go back into our past, to those places that we've gotten stuck, there are painful experiences, but I guarantee you, if you dig a little deeper, there are messages embedded in that pain from your past that you have heard and not even known it was the enemy, but you begin to fixate upon that. The devil says these things. There's something wrong with you. You are the reason this has happened. God doesn't love you. You're a failure. You will never succeed. You are cursed. Everything good you ever get, you will lose. You're a burden. You're ugly. Shame on you. Pain always carries a message from the devil. God does not say those things. Satan says those things to us through our pain. And we are all too often agree with what he says. Another thought is we develop incorrect mindsets from painful messages. This is the second thought. The first one is there's always a message from the devil that comes through our pain. The second thought is this. These are not my main points. Leave room if you're taking notes. But because of these messages from our past, we develop mindsets. We develop unhealthy mindsets. We develop incorrect mindsets from painful messages. Now, can I please be honest? This is so huge. This will change your life if you will get this under. Start at least exploring this principle. I read a book last year, and it's not a faith-based book. It's not necessarily written by a Christian, but she is a psychologist. And it's called Mindsets. In fact, I'll give you the title because I really think that it could change your life if you get a hold of this. It's called Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. And the person who wrote it is Dr. Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. That's a fun name, Dweck. Anyway, and I highly recommend the book. I saw a lot of myself in it. It talks about how from an early age, most children develop one of two different mindsets. It's either a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. That's really, it's either one or the other. A person who has a fixed mindset, I don't want to misquote this. A fixed mindset or a growth mindset. A fixed mindset believes abilities cannot be developed. In other words, they believe that they cannot do certain things. They'll never grow. They'll never learn certain areas in life. A growth mindset, on the other hand, believes that things can be developed. You can learn. You can grow. And the premise is, as a growth mindset believes abilities can be developed, people with a growth mindset tend to flourish in life. People with a fixed mindset are less likely to flourish in life. Now, what's the point? The devil comes into our life from pains of our past, and he whispers these messages to us, and we believe it. And we become fixated on those messages, and we get stuck, and we think we can't grow past it. We think we'll never be able to overcome. And that is a lie from the enemy. He wants you to have your mind fixed in the wrong place. I'm going to talk a little bit more next week, I think, about the stronghold of the mind, or strongholds in your mind, mental strongholds. But I want you to understand these are lies from the enemy. We fixate on these the rest of our lives, and we stay stuck. And here's the deal. You don't just stay emotionally stuck. Many people stay spiritually stuck. They stay physically stuck, often educationally, vocationally, mentally. They stay stuck in these areas, and it can even affect people in their finances. They stay stuck in a poverty mentality, in a poor existence. Let me ask you this question today. Think about this for just a minute. Think about your own life. These questions. Who told you that you couldn't learn? Who told you that you couldn't grow and get to a better place in your life? Who told you that you would always be poor? Who told you that if you get something good, if you obtain something, if you're a success, you will lose it? So why even try? Who told you these things? Who told you that you're a loser? Who told you that you're ugly? Who told you that you're stupid or dumb? Who told you that you're unlovable? Who told you something's really wrong with you? Who told you God doesn't love you? I'm going to tell you something. God didn't tell you those things. And you don't tell you those things. That starts early in your life. And you have a mindset that maybe has been developed from a message that has been implanted in your life from the devil. And it comes in most often through painful situations in our life. And the devil is evil and he is stealthy. He is so evil he will convince a child that is being abused that it's somehow that child's fault. That is not only stealthy, it's evil. Maybe you've been in similar situations in your life where you thought that the pain of maybe your parents breaking up or someone leaving or someone rejecting you, you're convinced that it was somehow your fault. Or someone abused you and you thought maybe this is your fault. That is not God speaking, and that is not the voice in your own head speaking. That's a message from the enemy. We need to break those mindsets and begin to grow, get into a growth mindset that you can overcome. He's evil. And he whispers those messages. And here's the deal. Here's his plan. This is my third thought. The devil's plan is to keep you in hiding. He wants to keep you hiding from God. He wants to keep you hiding from others, not being vulnerable. He wants to disrupt intimacy in marriages, keep people hiding from each other. True intimacy is when there's complete vulnerability. He wants to keep you hiding from God. He wants to keep you hiding. And the reason is he does not want you to have a healthy relationship with God. He does not want you to have healthy relationships with other people. Satan comes in to disrupt. He comes in through our pain and speaks messages. Those messages get in our brains and create mindsets in us that we think this is always the way it's going to be. And the reason is because he wants to keep... That's what he did in the garden. They hid from God. He spoke a message through their pain. And in their shame, they went and they hid. And he wants to keep you in hiding. And if something is exposed in your life, more often than not, people, instead of saying, I'm going to deal with this, I'm going to get over this, I'm going to get through this, I'm going to press in and get the help that I need, instead, often, the message in their head says, you need to go deeper into hiding. We need to stop hiding from our healer. God is our healer. And he is not there to speak these messages in your life. You didn't speak it. He didn't say it. Satan said it. And God is the one who comes and brings healing and restoration. He's our healer. He is the healer in your life. So how do we create new mindsets? How do we silence the past messages from the enemy? The first thing we need to do is we need to erase. We need to erase. What do we need to erase? We need to erase the demonic messages that have come through our pain. The messages from the devil that have come into our life from the pain, we need to erase. Now, as I was writing these thoughts down, I did not try to make these rhyme. It just kind of came out this way. But then afterwards, I thought, these rhyme. I'm anointed. And then I mentioned it to my wife. My points this week rhyme. And she went, And something died a little bit on the inside of me when she did that. Made me question my whole calling and ministry existence. And I was like, what am I going to do with this pain? Because the enemy is now whispering these messages into my life that I just need to go quit the ministry and go dig a ditch or something. But it just happens to fall this way this week that these rhyme. Maybe this will help you to remember them. We have to erase the demonic messages of our pain. But how do we do this? Number two, we retrace. We retrace our past to uncover old lies in our pain. This really is a work of the Holy Spirit. And I would just, if you're taking notes, I would even just write out like a bullet point or something under this point, regularly ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what it is that is in your past. What are old pains? Because here's the deal. Sometimes if you're trying to overcome some areas and you're trying to grow and something's kind of stuck in your life, you're not quite where you want to be, and you retrace, you go back to those old pains, what are you actually looking for? You're looking for those negative messages from the enemy that he spoke in that pain. It's not like you're just going back to relive the pain again. You're going back to find out what are the negative messages that I heard from the enemy in that pain that has kept me stuck in a wrong mindset my whole life. So we need to go back, erase demonic messages in our pain, retrace our past to uncover those old lies in our pain. Ask the Holy Spirit to help uncover those lies, those messages. Often this means, though, we do have to go back and do some hard work. A lot of times people don't want to do this. I've been there. How many of you know this? Sometimes this is a we think of it as a generational thing, but I somebody came and talked with me this week and said, I was here a year ago and I spoke with an older man, kind of silver-haired older man, and he helped me out with some stuff. And the more he started talking to me, the more I realized I was the silver-haired old man. That was me. Anyway, so I'm saying that to say I still think of myself as a young guy. Some of you in here, you're older than me, and you think of that as well. But it just hits me that I've probably been alive longer than I'm going to live. There's something that happens that goes off inside of you when you realize that you've been alive longer than you're probably going to live. And you start to realize that maybe there's been some things you've picked up along the way. You've been around the sun a few times. And one of the things that I have picked up is that every older generation looks at the younger generation and they think they don't have a clue. I don't think that's always true. But I have noticed that in some of the millennial generation, it's sort of this idea of, like, I don't want to, I only want to do what I want to do. Can I just be honest with you? There were people when I was younger who said that about me in my generation, okay? So they also said, you know, I don't like the music you listen to and get off my lawn. But so it never really changes. But the truth of the matter is there's sometimes, how many have you learned that there's parts of any job that you just don't want to do, but you have to do it? That's life. That's life. I'm not going to sing. Anyway, sometimes you've got to do some hard work to get unstuck emotionally, spiritually, to move forward in life, to overcome. And that means you've got to do some digging in those painful things of your past to find those hidden messages that were lies of the enemy. You've got to retrace. And the Holy Spirit will help you when you ask Him. So retrace, erase those messages from the enemy by retracing those messages. And then number three, it's not enough just to retrace it and find it and erase it. You've got to replace it. The way you erase it is you replace it. And what you replace it with is what God actually says. Not what the devil says, but what God says. How many of you ladies enjoyed the 2-4-6 table last week? Some of you, well, that was a spackling of applause. Let's go ahead and give it up for the team who, our ladies ministry, they do this about once a quarter and it's a fantastic time. But I understand one of the things that y'all talked about was the importance of the Word of God, of knowing the Bible, reading the Bible, applying the Bible to your life. I cannot overestimate. Overstress the importance of reading and knowing God's Word. Because the more you get His Word into you, the more the old messages of the enemy are erased from your life. And so what you've got to do is you've got to erase it. The way you erase it is you retrace your path, your steps, your past, go back to those painful areas, find those lies, those messages of the enemy, and then replace them with God's Word. What does God's Word say? And I said this just a couple of weeks ago, but it bears repeating. Whatever it is you're going through in life, Satan's got something to say about it, but God has something else to say about it. And Satan is the father of lies. If his mouth is moving, he's lying, but God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything God speaks is the truth. His Word is truth. So replace the messages that come through the pain, that come in by the enemy. Replace it with God's Word. Develop a healthy love relationship with God's Word and replace the messages in your pain with God's message. Now, in closing today, I told you to hold your place in Job chapter 42 because I wanted to I wanted to bring some more scripture into this message today. And I'm not one of these pastors who goes verse by verse. If you're looking for that, I can make some recommendations of some podcasts and stuff. But I like the whole counsel of God's word. And at times, when, as I was working on this message this week, I was praying about, Lord, I've got this one story in the garden of Adam and Eve. What's another one? And I was stumped. I was just praying over it this week. And the whole time I was just going through my daily Bible reading. And Jennifer and I have been going through this together, read through the Bible in a year, but she's a little ahead of me. And she had just finished the book of Job, and I was still in the book of Job. And I'm saying, Lord, where else do we see this in the Bible, where the enemy comes in and speaks messages? And the whole time I'm reading the book of Job. How many of you are familiar with the book of Job? One of my daughters one time said, you know that book of Job? I don't like that book. But in Job chapter 42, which was the last chapter, I was just reading my daily Bible reading, and I have read the book of Job several times, dozens of times probably, and yet I read something and something just jumped off the page at me that I'd never seen before. I want to tell you again. If you will read God's word and read with a heart for God to speak to you, if you have an ear to hear, He is going to open your eyes to beautiful things in your word. Even if you've read it dozens of times, you'll see something different, something new. A revelation will hit you that you never saw before. And I was reading it, and I knew Jennifer had just finished reading it, so I said, this is so powerful. Have you ever seen this before? And she said, what? And I read it to her, and she goes, huh. She had finished reading it, and she had just read right over that. And when I read it to her and brought attention to it, I didn't even tell her what I thought, wow, this revelation that I had just gotten from this, she got it after reading it. She was like, huh, I just read that, and I didn't catch that. It was so powerful. But you need to fall in love with God's word. Now, many of you, you know the story of Job. You know that Job was very rich and he was very righteous. In other words, he was blessed man of God. And he was a good man. He was a good man. But then we also know that he loses everything. He loses everything. He loses all of his wealth. And he doesn't just lose his wealth, but he experiences probably more pain than anyone in the Bible, except for maybe Jesus. I mean, I don't want to say maybe, except for Jesus. He probably experienced more pain than anyone else in the Bible. He loses all of his wealth. His children die. And he loses his physical health. He's in severe, severe pain. Physically, emotionally, financially, and not surprisingly, this affects him mentally and emotionally, and so he's experienced great grief, great sorrow, great heartache, incredible pain this man is in. And we know that Satan is behind it the whole time. If you go read the whole book, we know the devil is behind it the whole time. From the get-go, Satan is the one that's behind this man's pain. But probably the most painful part is not the actual things that happen to him. It's the messages that comes in his pain. And it comes through three of four friends. Really, four friends, but the fourth one was actually right. But three of his friends come, and again, we know Satan is behind this. They begin to speak messages to Job in his pain. Demonic messages from the devil that come through his pain. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever seen that before? And they say brutal things to him. They say things like, there's something wrong with you. You must be evil. You are cursed. You never deserve to be blessed. You deserve to lose it all. Everyone has rejected you. Even God rejects you. And even Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Can you imagine all these messages over and over? And there's chapters and chapters and chapters of just this, these messages of rejection and accusation coming against him in his pain. People love to kick other people while they're down. And that's exactly what we see going on here. Now, we think that Job got a raw deal from God in this story. But let me just tell you the truth. Job, he did have sin in his life. It was his fourth friend that actually called him on it. His sin was self-righteousness. Because he said over and over again, I've done nothing wrong. I have no sin in my life. That's not true of anyone. Except Jesus. Again. He did have sin in his life because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all born into a sin nature. And yet here is Job saying, I have no sin in my life. Why is this happening to me? And it was his fourth friend that finally just said, your sin is self-righteousness. And then God spoke to Job. And this is so funny because, you know, we talk about don't be sarcastic all the time. But it looks like God's, it almost sounds like he's a little sarcastic when he talks to Job. But one of the things that he says to Job is, this is God now. God said, if you could save yourself, if you are good enough to save yourself, I'll worship you. God said that to Job. I thought that was funny. Again, y'all are missing good opportunities here. Maybe these jokes are going over your head. I'm just, anyway. It's not a joke. God really said that. But finally, Job repented. He fell on his knees. And there was no hardness in him anymore. There was no bitterness or self-righteousness in him. And we know that God forgave him and restored him better than he had been before. But before God restores Job, he had to do one other thing besides repent. And I had never seen this before after reading this a dozen times or more. He repented, but before God would heal him, before God would restore him, before God would bless him again, he had to do one other thing. And this is what jumped off the page at me. He had to forgive those friends that had brought the negative message in his pain and kicked him while he was down. He had to forgive them. And I never saw this before, but he had to forgive them. I keep coming back to this week after week. Unforgiveness, bitterness will defile you, and it will defile others. It'll drive you crazy. It's these negative emotions, the messages that come in our pain, often caused by other people. Often people who say they're our friends or say they love us. These things can give place to the devil. They can be a beast inside of us if we don't deal with them. We must forgive. Let's look at this. Job chapter 42, verse 7. I had to practice over and over these words, these names. But it says, after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to, here we go, Eliphaz. Isn't that a fun word? How would you like your name to be Eliphaz? Eliphaz is a Temanite. I am angry with you, God says to him. I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So take seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Now hear this. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Job could have said no. He had an option here. He had a choice, again, an act of his will. He could have said, no, I'm not going to pray for them. I'm not going to bless them. I'm not going to forgive them. They deserve the full frontal force of God's wrath. Look at the way they've treated me. Look at the way they've talked about me. Look at the message that they brought in my pain. They kicked me when I'm down. How dare them? I will not pray for them. I will not bless them. I will not forgive them. He could have said those things. He could have refused to pray for them. They hurt my feelings. But instead, he makes a choice to forgive them. Because he does not wish God's wrath upon them. He makes a decision to forgive them. He blesses them. He prays for them. Only then did God heal and restore and bless Job better than he ever had before. Forgiveness is still the heart of the matter. And I'm going to tell you guys, I've told you this before. I end almost every week now with my own journey, my own testimony. There were people in my past that I thought I had forgiven. I said I've forgiven them. If anybody questioned it, I'd argue with them. Oh no, I let that go a long time ago. I've forgiven them. But the truth of the matter was, I didn't pray for them. I didn't speak blessing over their life. I didn't particularly want the best for them. Oh, I might have said, oh, I don't wish them any ill will. I don't wish them the worst. But I didn't particularly want the best for them. In fact, truth be known, I didn't think about them at all. Very much. And when I did, those old pains and those old messages would come up again. So I just avoided it. It was as if they were dead to me. I just didn't care about them. Now listen, please don't miss this today. Is there anybody like that in your life? From your past? You say, oh, I've forgiven them. But do you pray for them? Do you bless them? Do you want the best for them? Do you care? Do you care? Because if there's something in you that says, I don't really care much for that person, there's still something negative there that hasn't been dealt with yet. And I know in my own life, that was my journey. I said, oh yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. I forgive. Now, hear me today. It doesn't mean you've got to go and place yourself back into an abusive situation. There's certain thing as healthy boundaries. That's a whole nother message. It's a whole nother series. It's a book. It's a great book, by the way. Dr. Henry Cloud, go read that one too. Called Boundaries. Such a thing as healthy boundaries. You don't have to put yourself back in the presence of a bitter person whose bitterness defiles you. You don't have to go back to an abusive person and continue to be abused by them. There are healthy boundaries that we need to understand. But you can forgive them. And to do so, pray for them. Bless them. Apply God's word in these situations and let the Holy Spirit do a miracle work in your heart, erasing those messages from the enemy and replacing it with his word. And it really is, again, a heart of forgiveness. Is this, I just want to ask you to bow your head for just a minute. How many of you in here today, just by show of hands, say, there's some people in my life, some pains of the past that I need erased? I don't want the people erased. I want the messages in the pain gone. They need to be gone. Go ahead and raise your hand. Just raise it high. And you know, you almost are automatically, somebody came to mind. Father, you see the hands that are up here today. Lord, my hands are up. I need continuously your Holy Spirit's power, help, to retrace those areas of my life, to uncover those negative messages from the enemy that have come in through my pain. I need you, Lord, to to speak your message, to speak your word. And I'm asking you in the lives of these raising their hands today, God, to do the same thing. Speak your words of truth into those places where the enemy has come through our pain and spoken negative messages. Lord, replace it with your word. And Lord, you are good. You are healer. You are provider. You are protector. You are the lifter of our head. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will never turn your heart away from us. Lord, the negative messages do not come from you. We recognize they've come from the enemy. And today we declare, Lord, your word over our life, that we are accepted in your beloved. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.